Scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Here Joshua is commissioned by God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you forever, whenever you go, wherever you go." A reading from God's Word.
From our reading this morning, we find a very time of uncertainty for Israel. Moses, the great leader of the Israelites, has just died. God has buried him on Mount Nebo. The view that you see on the monitors is probably the view like Moses saw as he overlooked the Promised Land before he died and was buried there at that spot on Mount Nebo. You know, Joshua has now taken the reins of the children of Israel. He is now in charge. He is the one that is now to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And as he thinks about this, he no doubt is going through his mind, to whom is he going to turn? Who is going to help him do this? What would he tell the people as they learn of the death of their leader, Moses, who has brought them out of Egypt and brought them to this point? Where would he go first after he crosses the Jordan River? How is he going to be able to accomplish this tremendous task that God has given to him? You know, there must have been a million questions going through his mind as God turns the leadership of the children of Israel over to him. But then God speaks directly to Joshua, and he tells Joshua to go across the Jordan and claim the land that God has given to them. And they are to cross the Jordan River in a similar way that they crossed the Red Sea, as the feet of the priest carrying the ark touch the waters of the Jordan, it would part and it would dry, and they would go across on dry land. So he tells them, cross that Jordan. And then he tells them to observe the law and to keep it faithfully in their lives. And we know from the stories that we read that they failed in this many times. But yet the command was there to observe the law and to follow it. And then at the end of our reading this morning, God tells Joshua three things. Three things that is going to help him tremendously as the leader of the children of Israel. First of all, he tells them to be strong and of good courage. He tells Joshua, do not be afraid, neither be dismayed. And then thirdly, he tells Joshua that the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. In essence, God has given to Joshua everything that he needs to be successful as the leader of the children of Israel. He gave Joshua an attitude of success. And you know, this is something that we need desperately in our lives. If we want to be successful spiritually as children of God, we need these three things in our lives. So what I would like to do today for just a few moments is I would like for us to look at these three things in detail and come to an understanding that if we are going to succeed spiritually as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, we need these very same things that Joshua needed as he carried the children of Israel over into the promised land. The first thing, we need to adopt the aplomb of our lives. Now, that's probably a new word to a lot of you. The word aplomb probably would have come across to you if you studied English rhetoric or if you had studied any of the behavioral science classes in college. The word aplomb signifies a great amount of self-confidence. To give you the ability to believe that you can do what you need to do. Now, God has given Joshua a tremendous challenge here. He has some pretty big shoes to fill, no doubt. He has to fill the shoes that Moses walked in. He has to continue where Moses left off. And not only that, he has got to go farther in his task than Moses had to go in getting them to this point. So God tells Joshua, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. You need to have confidence that you can do what I am asking you to do. You know, courage is something that anyone needs when we have to face an enemy. Joshua understood as he went into the promised land, there are going to be enemies to face. There are going to be many difficulties, many tasks that is going to challenge him along the way. And yes, he is going to need courage. But not only that, he is going to need strength. And not just physical strength from his own body, but he is going to need strength from the children of Israel as they walk together into the promised land. He is going to be able to need to motivate them as they move into Canaan. So he needs both strength and courage to be successful in leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. I want to tell you from that, Lord, today we need the very same courage and strength in our lives if we are going to be successful as Christians. Because you see, it takes courage to be brave. It takes courage to be bold when we stand up against those who are against us, our adversaries. And we do have adversaries in our lives today who are against what we stand for. They are against God, they are against Christianity, and they are against you and me because we follow God and we put Christianity into our lives. So we need to be bold. We need to be brave. We need to be courageous. We need to be ready to stand up to speak the truth, even when we face opposition to God and to our Christianity. You know, the apostles prayed for this courage. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. This was a plea from the apostles. Give us strength. Give us courage. Let us stand firm. Let us stand fast in God's word. You know, Paul often asked for prayers on his behalf so that he could speak boldly to the people about God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need this same kind of courage in our lives. Let me ask you this. In all probability, you have met and faced someone who may not have your conviction for Christianity. How do you deal with that? Do you stand behind the cross of Jesus? Do you stand firmly upon the Word of God and you proclaim to them and tell them your love for God, your determination, your dedication as His child? Or do you find yourself becoming nervous, a little afraid, and you have anxiety because you really don't know how to handle it? We need to pray for courage. We need to pray for strength. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 10, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You know, He gives us an armor from God that will help us be strong. He tells us that we can gird our loins with the truth of God's Word. He tells us that we can put on that breastplate of righteousness that will protect us. He tells us that we must put onto our feet the gospel of peace, that we can walk in the gospel in our lives. And He tells us that we must hold firmly before us that shield of faith that can help protect us. He tells us that we do have that helmet of salvation that gives us salvation that will also protect us. And then we have that sword of the Spirit, that offensive weapon, that Word of God that can cut, that can pierce the heart of man and convict him of sin and turn him to God. God has given us all of these things, and we need to have the strength to use them in His service. But here's a thought. Strength for the Christian may sometimes come from the most unlikely source and from the most unlikely place. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, he said, wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Anybody ever feel that way? When you find yourself being spiritually challenged in life, do you look at that as an opportunity for strength? Or do you find yourself becoming weak, walking away from that task because you don't feel like you're up to it? Maybe you need to take another look at that armor of God. Maybe you need to take a look at these things and put those things back on and stand strong in God's way. We can always be assured that we can do what God has asked us to do. You know, Paul said this very thing in Philippians 4, verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are told by the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 13 and verse 6, that we can be courageous because we know the Lord is on our side. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Do we have that kind of fear? Do we have aplomb in our life? Do we have that kind of confidence that we can overcome sin, that we can stand strong in the Lord, and that we can move forward, and that we can move this church forward? We need that strength, and we need the courage to be able to do this. And then, we need to learn to avoid anxiety. In other words, learn not to fear. Anxiety is worrying about things in which we have no control. Do you have anything in your life that you have no control over? I guess we all do, don't we? There are always things that we are at someone else's mercy, or we're at the mercy of nature. You know, in the last few years, we have had some pretty catastrophic weather incidences take place here. And it has affected several in our congregation. The hurricane that came through, the two tornadoes that came through Albany just shortly afterward, done damage to people who worship with us here. And when you're sitting there, I know when the first tornado came through, Alan and Mandy were still dating at the time, and he was at our house, and they were sitting out in the driveway when the alarm went off. So I run to the door, come inside. And we sat in that hallway of our house, and we heard the roar, and we felt the rumble. The tornado went directly over our house and hit the house across the street. You know, I felt completely helpless at that moment in time because there was nothing that I could do. In Alabama, we used to run underground. There's nowhere to run underground around here. So we were helpless. It's not a good feeling, is it? That you're totally out of control when something goes wrong in your life. And when we develop that kind of anxiety, it will lead to fear. It will lead to dismay. God tells Joshua, have no fear. Do not be dismayed. Why? I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You and I today have that very same promise. And when we find ourselves facing fear of this nature, we need to know that. Because if we fail in knowing that, it can cause us to act incorrectly, to live incorrectly, and to turn away from our God. You know, being dismayed is sort of like the deer as it looks into the headlights that are about to hit it. You know, a deer will freeze in that point in time. Don't know what to do. Don't know where to go. And when we have that kind of attitude in our lives, we, my friends, are doomed to fail. As Christians, we must learn to avoid anxiety. You know, Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus told us, don't be anxious about food. Don't be anxious about clothing. Don't be anxious about shelter. Don't be anxious about how tall you are going to be or how many hairs that you have on your head. But instead, seek God first. Jesus said, God knows you need these things. God knows that these are sometimes challenging things to have to obtain. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. And it is amazing how that verse works. And it always works. Paul wrote Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because when we face something that we think we can't control, or that we can't control, there is one who can, and that is our Heavenly Father. And we need to learn to turn to Him. You know, there is a fear that we need to have, and that is fear of God, fear for God. Jesus told his disciples as he sent them out on the limited commission, Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This is a reverent fear. This is an awesome fear that we understand who God is, what he is, and what he can do. And I think we all understand that, don't we? And that's the kind of fear we need as godly people. Solomon makes reference to this fear. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter," he said. "Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is man's all. This is the duty of man. This is it. This is the most important thing there is." And if we will put that kind of reverent fear for God, if we will obey his word, we have absolutely nothing that we need to fear about. God is going to take care of us. So like Joshua, we need to avoid our anxieties. And then we need to accept God's assurance. Now, if I asked this question, I would have a 100% response. Do you believe in God? Of course you do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Now, the next question is, do you believe God? Do you believe that he will do what he said he will do? Do you believe that he has the power to do what he said he will do? God has assured Joshua here, look, this land of Canaan, this promised land, I can give it to you. I will give it to you. And he also said, Joshua, I am going to be with you. I am going to be on your side. I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. And my friends, as we read those words in Scripture, it's like looking in a mirror. God is saying the very same thing to us. Farron, you don't need to fear. Farron, you can have courage. Farron, I'm going to be with you wherever you go, whatever you do, and I'm going to help you. And he tells that to every one of us. Isn't that a comforting thought? That the creator of our universe, the ruler of the universe, he's the all-powerful, and yet he is here. He is here with us. He is right beside you. He is right beside me, and he's not going anywhere. If we separate from God, it'll be us that do the separating and not God. What greater assurance could Joshua have had than that? And what greater assurance can you and I have than that? Knowing that he is with us. As Paul said, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ. But you take Christ out of that picture, and you will find yourself an instant failure. Jesus gave his disciples this assurance. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And in John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." We're going to be there. We're going to stay there. And we're not going anywhere. And then the Hebrew writer, Hebrew 13, beginning with verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear." And friends, we can put that into our lives. So there you have it. Joshua's attitudes for success. It is also your and my attitude for success. If we will adopt these attitudes, just as Joshua was successful in taking the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, we will be successful in our lives as children of God and will be able to stand before God someday and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we need to adopt aplomb. We need to develop that great confidence in God and in ourselves. We need to avoid anxiety, because anxiety can lead to perplexion, and that can lead to total disruption of our lives. And we need to accept God's assurance that I can keep all of this online. I can keep it all going in the right direction if you will let me. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, have the courage to obey the gospel today. God will help you gain your strength. He will help you grow your faith. He will help you be what you need to be as His child. But it begins with that first step of giving your life to Him. And Christian, it may be that though that you through human weakness have become unsuccessful as a child of God, we want to give you an opportunity to come back to God today. Make your life a success again by coming back to Him as His child. Remember, it takes courage. It takes strength. Have the courage and the strength to live for God. And we can always remember this: He will always be with us. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we